I want to ask you a question. Now, it's not a quiz, it's just a question. What's the greatest gift that God gives to mankind? I want you to think about that for a minute. What's the greatest gift God has given to mankind? Now, we can think of a lot of different things. He gives us a lot of great, fantastic, wonderful gifts. Okay, I'm gonna just throw a couple examples out, and you can kind of get a feel on what is the greatest gift. Again, what is the greatest gift that God the Father, Jesus Christ, gives us as humans? How about eternal life? What a fantastic gift, eternal life. Fantastic blessings to be able to live forever spiritually. How about the kingdom of God, being able to be part of the kingdom of God? Again, a wonderful blessing, fantastic blessing. How about God's Holy Spirit? Another wonderful blessing that God provides and gives us. How about life in general, just creating us? What a wonderful gift that God has given us. Well, I think the answer to that question is found in the Bible. And we're going to talk about the answer to that question. What is the greatest gift? What do you think is the greatest gift that God has given mankind? Anyone want to guess? How about the kingdom of God? Anybody thinks that's the greatest gift that God has given us?
Eternal life.
Okay. Some feel eternal life is the greatest gift that God has given us. How about the Holy Spirit? I think the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God has given us. And I'm going to prove it in the Bible that that is the greatest gift, because without the Holy Spirit, there is no kingdom of God for you. There is no eternal life for you, which are blessings and tremendous gifts that God will give us. But the reason he gives us to us is because he gives us his Holy Spirit. Now, his Holy Spirit gives us the opportunity to be in his kingdom and to be a part and live eternal life with him. So it does require the Holy Spirit. So what exactly is a Christian? People say a Christian is someone who follows Jesus Christ, and that's all they need to do is just follow Jesus Christ. But how does the Bible define a Christian is what I want to talk about a little bit here. The scriptures clearly show who belongs to Christ and who doesn't. It's very clear. Let's look at Romans, and it's interesting, he referred to that in his passage there, Mr. Kubik. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verse 9. It says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So I think that's very important to realize. If we don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we're none of his. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we can't have eternal life. We can't have the rewards of the kingdom of God and all the blessings that he intends for mankind. So it does require the Spirit of God dwelling in us in order to receive these other blessings. And they are all important. I don't want to downplay eternal life. Eternal life is very, very important. It's a wonderful blessing. It's a tremendous gift from God. I also want to emphasize the kingdom of God. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity for all of us to be in the kingdom of God and to share in the and to do the responsibilities of helping in the kingdom of God. Those are all very important. But if we don't have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we will never even have the opportunity to have those other blessings. So that's why it's so important. That is the greatest gift, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Now, I also want to continue in verse 11. It says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." So it's very important. The Holy Spirit is very, very important. It's a tremendous gift. It's the greatest gift that God gives us, but it's very, very important that we do receive the Holy Spirit, and we do have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Let's look also at verse 14. "For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So this identifies what a true Christian is. Those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit are his sons. They are the sons of God. So that's very important when we want to know what is a true Christian and who is a true Christian and how are they a true Christian. It's because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that dwells within them. Now, the Holy Spirit, it's very clear that the Holy Spirit plays a major role in the lives of Christian. I think we all agree with that. If you don't, I want you to continue to study what the Holy Spirit does for us. But it's very, very clear that for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit identifies us with Christ. We saw in verse 9. In verse 11, it also says that mortality is possible to humans through the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, it says that it makes possible for obedience and overcoming in a Christian's life. That's very important. And it truly leads. The Holy Spirit guides. It empowers. It motivates. And that's probably one of the greatest blessings, to get us going and motivate us and keep us going. Otherwise, we could easily fall away and turn away from God. But it motivates us. The Holy Spirit motivates us and makes us the sons of God. In short, God's Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ as well in the Scriptures. And it makes one a Christian, a true Christian, a Spirit-led follower of Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that Jesus Christ and God the Father has given mankind. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. The Holy Spirit is what defines a Christian and makes one a child of God. We read that here in Romans. It is the most important, vital part of learning and understanding more of what the Holy Spirit's all about. The Holy Spirit will teach us. It will show us. It will help us to understand the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit works with us. It's a comforter. It's a helper. When we read about that a little bit later. That helper helps us to understand, helps us to learn, helps us to grow and develop righteous character that God wants us to have. And in the process of receiving God's Holy Spirit and having and dwelling and growing and seeking the kingdom of God, we will have the blessings of eternal life, which is another wonderful blessing. The Holy Spirit is described in the Bible as the power at work in the lives of people. And I think that's very, very true. When we read in the Bible, many people who had received the Holy Spirit and the power that they received and how it worked in their lives, people's lives who were going contrary to the ways of God, and suddenly they received the Holy Spirit and they made a complete turnaround. Paul's a wonderful example of that, of how he was persecuting the church. He was tormenting and killing God's people, ones who had God's Holy Spirit. He was killing them, and he did it ignorantly. But when God gave him the Holy Spirit and he turned him around, he became a powerful minister of God. And he is a wonderful example of how that power works in the lives of people. And it turned his life completely around in dealing with people. Let's look at Galatians, I think, as Alan mentioned, Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22, we know what they are. Galatians 5:22, we read about the fruits of the Spirit. We have a description of the fruits of the Spirit, how a person's life should be who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, because these are fruits of the Holy Spirit, and this is what we should be developing. If you see these fruits in you, you know you're growing and that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Galatians 5:22, and we'll just refer to them. But the fruits of the Spirit is love. And I find that very interesting. The very first fruit is love, because Jesus Christ set the example of love. He was willing to sacrifice his life for mankind, his love for mankind. And so that fruit came out very clearly in Jesus Christ, and he wants it in us. Joy, peace, long-suffering. Many of us have been suffering long with all kinds of conditions, health conditions, situations where individuals have lost mates because they were faithful to God. Divorces took place in some families. and losing jobs was a long-suffering for some people. So long-suffering falls into a lot of different categories. But the important thing is being faithful and gentleness here. It says gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Such these, there is no law. And again, I'm going to refer to Mr. Kubik, which I found it very, very interesting. Because some of the terms sometimes people look at and they say, what's different here? Here in Galatians 5:22, in the Bible, it says meekness and temperance. But it's also been compared to gentleness and self-control, because they're all of the same word, meaning gentleness and self-control, or meekness and temperance. Against there's no such law. So when you see these fruits in Galatians 5:22, and these are the fruits of the Spirit, you need to evaluate yourself and look at yourself. Do I have these fruits of the Spirit? And if I don't, I need to ask God, give me more. Help me to have these fruits. Help me to produce these fruits and give these fruits to others. The Holy Spirit is a spirit that dwells within us, but it also goes out of us towards others as we express our love and our concern for others. So the Holy Spirit is an indwelling and an outdwelling of the Spirit. It shows the fruits that come forth from the individual. So as you see individuals producing these fruits, you can see that the Holy Spirit is dwelling with them. But we do have to look at ourselves. Do we have the love that we should have? Do we have the joy? Do we have the peace that it says the fruit produces? Do we have long suffering? Are we willing to suffer long for righteousness? Are we willing to be gentle, goodness, have the faith to endure to the end and until the Christ returns and sets up the government? Are we meek? Are we humble? Do we have humbleness? Is there temperance or self-control? That's a good guideline to go by. These fruits of the Spirit is a good guideline for each and every one of us to evaluate ourselves. Not others, not be looking at others and say, oh, does he have love? Does he or she have gentleness? No, do you have love and do you have gentleness and do you have these fruits? You have to look at yourself. Not just you become self-centered. that's a whole different category. But because you want to see yourself to the point of what you really are, if you don't have fully these fruits, then you need to ask for these fruits, more of these fruits. Ask God to give you more of his Holy Spirit, as we heard in the sermonette, excellent sermonette. Appreciate that. If you don't have or you feel you're lacking in any of these fruits, ask God for them. And we have a God that's very loving. He gives us the greatest gift we could possibly have, and that's the Holy Spirit, which helps us to develop these fruits that he wants us to have. And that's why it's so important that we fully appreciate and ask God when we feel we're lacking in any of these fruits, that we can have these fruits. Now, the Comforter is referred to over in John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I love my Bible, but it's hard sometimes to turn the pages. It's large print because that's what I need. and you'll need it too as you get older too. You'll find that your eyesight will change. Mine changed when I turned 45. I find that very interesting. I went to bed. I read the paper before I went to bed and everything was fine. I got up the next morning. I couldn't read the paper. I thought, what happened? I just couldn't understand. So I thought maybe I had a heart attack. I talked to Lynn about it. I said, you know, something happened. I can't read the paper. So I went and got my eyes checked, and sure enough, the doctor said, your eyes changed. And he said, how old are you? I said, I'm 45. He said, well, he said, most people at 40. Some people at young. Young people have glasses. So it can happen any time in your life, and you may have to get a large print Bible. And it's much thicker. You can see how much thicker that Bible can be and how big it is. But it's great. It is really helpful, very, very helpful. Okay, let's look at John chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 7. It says here, nevertheless, this is Christ talking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. So Christ is telling, I must leave. I must leave. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Comforter is what he is sending. And what is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. That is what he's talking about. He's talking about a comforter, a helper, who will come. When I have to leave, I will leave, but I will send you, and God the Father will send you the comforter. So that's very important to realize that we can't do it ourselves. Now, people think I can muster up love and I can muster up gentleness and kindness and peace and all these fruits, and they think they can do it themselves. And some people have amazingly done some wonderful things without the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. People have reached out and done wonderful works of love. But that's physical works of love. The emphasis is spiritual love, love for mankind, love for God. These are the loves that we need to develop in our lives, and the fruits and what that does. And the comforter or the helper gives us the ability to do that. We can't do it ourselves. If you try to do it yourself, you're only going to succeed so far without the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit takes you to another level. It takes you to the spiritual level, what you need and what you're capable of performing. God tells us there's nothing we can't do without His Holy Spirit. Now, you can say, wow, there's nothing I can't do without His Holy Spirit. That's amazing statements when you hear that. But it's true. If you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you and you use it for its purpose of which God has given it to you, there's virtually next to nothing that you can't do. Now, we realize sometimes as human beings, we have limitations. But God goes above those limitations. He knows our frail weaknesses. And that's why He forgives us of our sins when we stumble and fall. And that helps us to utilize the Holy Spirit in order to be able to repent and then seek God's forgiveness. And then, like I said, continue to grow and develop the fruits of the Spirit. God never gives up on us. That's the encouraging thing for all of us. God never gives up on us. If we stumble and fall and we turn away and maybe we don't develop the fruits of the Spirit like we should, God doesn't automatically say, that's it, you're out of here, you're done, I'm going to work with somebody else. No, God is a very loving God. He created us for the purpose of being in His kingdom and developing the fruits of the Spirit in us. And He will never, ever give up on us. Even when it seems like it's our darkest hour and we failed God miserably and we sometimes want to just give up on life, God doesn't give up on us. He's waiting for us to come back. He will forgive us and He will give us His Holy Spirit and strengthen us. Even when people think, you know, I've lost the Spirit. I just don't have these fruits anymore. He can give it back to you. It's not a matter He takes it away and that's it, it's gone. You choose to give up, and if you don't repent, then you will lose the Holy Spirit if you don't change and you don't repent and ask for forgiveness. But God says He'll never forgive us if we forget Him. We have to go back to God. That's where the key factor is, that He will never forgive us if we give up on Him. But rather, if we ask God to forgive us, He will forgive us. And He will not forget us. That's very important that we realize that. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us." This scripture tells us it's a gift from God. It's the greatest gift that we can receive. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And it says it's in our hearts. And that's where our emotions are. If we truly love our God as we say we do, it comes from the heart. And that's why the fruits go to the heart. We put them in our heart and we hold them dear to us, because the fruits show God how much we truly care. And so that's why it's very important to develop fruit. And God gives it to us, the Holy Spirit. Here the Spirit is described as God's giving us a gift. We're told here it's a gift from Him. We can't earn it. Those who said, well, you know, I've always lived a righteous life, and so I received the Holy Spirit. You may have lived the righteous life, but the Bible says all sinned. So in your eyes, you may have thought you lived the righteous life, but all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We understand that. That's why we do have to repent and seek God and ask for forgiveness, because we all fall short of the glory of God and we all have sinned. But it's very important that we do repent and ask for forgiveness. Here the Spirit, I mentioned, is a gift. God's love flows through us, into us, and out of us towards others. What a fantastic gift. Isn't it fantastic that we just don't harbor it inside and say, okay, I have God's Holy Spirit and I'm keeping it. Nobody else is getting it. That's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to have the Holy Spirit and harbor it inside so that nobody else can experience it. He says it should go out towards others, that we should reach out to others with love and compassion and feeling of empathy when there's need. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry, a time to be born, a time to die. And that's so true. Just like the Holy Spirit, there's a time to reach out to others and show your Holy Spirit to them. One of the greatest blessings as we receive the Holy Spirit is that we can hold on to the truths of God promised to us, and that we can have access to this precious gift. Anytime we seek God, we have access to this precious gift. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? People say, well, okay, that's wonderful to know you have the Holy Spirit, but how do you receive it? Young people sometimes question that. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? And what are the Spirit's activities in our lives? How does it affect our lives? These are very important questions when we want to understand how the Spirit dwells in us, how we receive it, and what it does for us in our lives. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, and we'll start at verse 45. Here Jesus is referring, he says, "Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." When Jesus gave them the Spirit, it opened their understanding to the scriptures and the meaning that he intended. But it's very interesting. Before Christ was crucified, the disciples stayed with him closely. But when he went through the process of being crucified, they fled. They left. They feared for their lives. They forsook him. And yet he told them that he wanted them to stay in Jerusalem. You can look at verse 46 here. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written that and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day." And then he said, "And the remembrance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things," he says. So in order to continue to do this commission, he's telling them that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations and beginning in Jerusalem. The disciples needed to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit. And that's what Pentecost is all about. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were able to play their part because they needed that Holy Spirit. They needed something that they didn't have, and that was the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave them the Holy Spirit, because he knew that they were going to need the Holy Spirit in order to be able to preach the gospel as well as endure suffering. Just like he suffered, they would have to suffer as well. And it would take the Holy Spirit to enable them to be able to do these things. After all, just a few days earlier, as I mentioned, they forsook God, or Jesus Christ, I should say. They forsook Jesus Christ and fled in fear of their lives. But now they were going to wait at Jerusalem and receive the Holy Spirit. And when they did receive the Holy Spirit, Peter was strong in the Spirit. He was weak previously. Remember, he denied Christ? He was weak. But when he received the Holy Spirit, he was very, very strong. The works of the Holy Spirit dwelled in him, made him a strong leader. And it's interesting. You can read about that over here. Let's look at verse 49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endure with power from on high." So he was telling me, you will have power from on high. You will receive the Holy Spirit, and this will enable you to be able to. Now, also referred to over in Luke, or from Luke over to the book of Acts. Let's look at the book of Acts. We'll look at Acts chapter 1. Now, this is right before they received the Holy Spirit, and we'll look at verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Again, they were commanded, don't leave Jerusalem, stay, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, you have heard of me. So again, he was emphasizing, and then he says in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So he's telling them, John the Baptist baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that's very important. Christ told the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And that happened on Pentecost, 31 A.D. Then we go to Acts chapter 2, and of course, you can read that. Tomorrow we'll be hearing messages about Pentecost, what happened, how they received the Holy Spirit in power and in glory. So I'm just going to refer quickly the miracles that are performed there, given to by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost after Christ's death and resurrection. You can read about that as you're preparing for the Passover. The Holy Scripture was given with mighty power, awesome power, to inspire, to motivate. There was 120 gathered together. This is very interesting, too. There was 120 gathered together on the day of Pentecost. But later that day, after Peter was preaching, there was thousands more that wanted to receive the Holy Spirit because they saw the effects of that and how it had changed Peter and how Peter's sermon encouraged these individuals to repent. And they were pricked to the heart and they realized, yes, we do need to, but what can we do? And, of course, Peter told them, repent and get baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And so it laid the foundation for the expansion and the growth of the church from 120 to thousands were suddenly added to the church. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, enabling individuals to receive it through baptism. You can read about that over here in Acts chapter 2, and we can look at verse 37. Now, when they heard this, and this was the message from Peter that they had heard, they were pricked to the heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't know what to do. They were convicted in their heart. They realized they had sinned, and they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. They realized that. And, of course, notice what Peter says in verse 38. And then Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wasn't given just certain individuals. It was now opened up to everyone, was given the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Not that everyone did receive the Holy Spirit, because many are called, but few are chosen. That's very interesting scripture. Many are called. Many people have been given the calling of God. But that doesn't mean they chose to follow that way. And so some of them had the opportunity, but that doesn't mean that they all followed, because you'll find that many of them went away later on in the scriptures. So even though they may have received the Spirit for a period of time. I don't think it could be any clearer that the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God has given mankind. You can question that and say, well, I still think eternal life is the greatest gift. Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, you will not be in the kingdom of God, and you will not receive eternal life if you don't have the Holy Spirit. So, yes, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the greatest gift. I think it's very clear from that explanation of it. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to change our lives. Most of us was going contrary to the ways of God. At least I can say I was. Growing up as a young person, I was into all kinds of things contrary to the ways of God. When God called my parents and gave them the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit, they in turn also gave me the opportunity to know the true God. And they taught me the basic teachings. But, you know, you go from the basics. You got to build upon that foundation. There's many people that have the basic knowledge of the truths of God, but they don't build upon the foundation. You have to build upon the foundation. And part of building upon the foundation is repentance, being baptized, and then receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. You just don't receive it as soon as you're baptized. You have to have the hands laid on to receive the Holy Spirit, and that's given through the ministry. So you need to have laying on of hands in order to receive the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, then you have the opportunity to build upon your foundation. Your foundation could be, okay, you start to learn about the Sabbath, the holy days, but you're not developing yet the fruits of the Spirit because you don't have the Holy Spirit. Till you repent of your past sins, you are baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, then you have access to the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit builds upon that foundation. You build the fruits of love, of joy, of peace, of long-suffering, as we talked about earlier. And you add that to your life. And you take away, if you want to go back to Galatians, and let's just refer back to Galatians. You can say, boy, this is interesting, because when you refer back to Galatians in 5:22, look at the previous scriptures above it. Galatians 5, and let's look at verse 19. Now, I'm going to refer to these fruits because this is what the fruits are without the Holy Spirit. These are fruits without the Holy Spirit, and perhaps some of us have experienced some of these fruits. In verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, emulations, wrath, strife. I can look at some of these terms that they use: seditions, heresies, envying, murders. There have been people in the Church of God who were murderers. I say, how can that be? Because they repented, they got baptized, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they no longer are murderers. Now, that may sound shocking to some people, but that's true. Some of them. These fruits were some of the fruits that we may have experienced when we were before we were baptized, before we repented of our sins, and before God called us. We lived in the world. We were part of the world. We did the things that the world does, and the world goes contrary to the ways of God. It doesn't understand the plan of God. It doesn't understand how the Spirit works, how it develops the fruit within us. Not that we develop the fruit. The fruit is developed by the Holy Spirit within us. And that's why our foundation, now that we're baptized, after we ask for repentance of our sins, we get baptized, we get the laying on of hands, we receive the Holy Spirit. Now we can build our foundation that God wants us to build, for every one of you to build upon your foundation. And that foundation will be based on the Holy Spirit helping, guiding, comforting us, and being what we need to develop these fruits. It's a fantastic plan that God has for us. God knew human beings were weak. He designed us. He created us. He knew we needed something extra. And what was that extra? That extra was the Holy Spirit that enabled us to be able to overcome and put sin behind us. And then once we put sin behind us, we can grow and develop and go forward. It's a fantastic plan that God has for mankind. And it all because of love. It all comes from love. God loves us. He cares for us. He gives us his Holy Spirit out of love because he knows that's what we need. We need his Holy Spirit in order to develop these fruits and to become like him. God has all of these characteristics, all these fruits of the Spirit. He is Spirit. He has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him, and he gives the opportunity for each and every one of us to have it as well. What a fantastic plan that God has for us. What a fantastic gift. The greatest gift that God could have possibly given mankind is his Holy Spirit. A fantastic, wonderful gift. Paul told over in Timothy, and you can refer over to Timothy, let's look at chapter 2 Timothy. We'll look at chapter 1. We'll look at 6 and 7. Now here again, Paul loved Timothy. His fruit, I mentioned about Paul. Paul was persecuted in the church. If Timothy would have been an acquaintance of Paul before he became converted, Timothy probably would have been martyred by Paul. He would have probably killed Timothy. But notice the turnaround of Paul here. Paul loved Timothy very, very much after he was converted, received the Holy Spirit. He took him on like a son. He considered Timothy like a son. And verse 6 it says here, therefore, now this is Paul instructing and encouraging Timothy. There, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. So he's telling Timothy, stir up that spirit that God has given you. That it says, stir up the gift of God which he has given you, and by putting on of my hands. So Paul actually laid his hands on Timothy in order for Timothy to receive the Holy Spirit. So instead of Paul going from what he had experienced previously of destroying Christians, he became a leader, and he set the example of love for Timothy by putting, laying on his hands so that Timothy could receive the Holy Spirit and stir it up. He says to stir it up. For God has not given us the power, a spirit of fear. So we don't have a spirit of fear, that we don't have to fear things, but he has given us a power of love. And that's the emphasis, that he has given us the power and of a sound mind. And that's so wonderful to have a sound mind. My wife and I work with many people, and many of these individuals don't have a sound mind. It's sad to see what people in the world are so confused. They're so messed up. They have no direction in their lives. Their lives are just, for many of them, are just existing, and many of them have lived terrible lives. And it's been horrible to see individuals gone through what they've gone through. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to have a sound mind, that we don't have to experience that. And we can encourage those who are struggling and don't have maybe the gifts that we've been given, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we can reach out to others out of love and compassion and concern for others. We can express the Holy Spirit to those individuals. That's not saying they're going to receive the Holy Spirit and they're going to agree with us. If you are living according to God's ways, and we've all experienced this, we're going to gain friends and we're going to lose friends. Friendships come and go, all based on our circumstances in life. Sometimes we deal with individuals, and when they see the fruits of the Spirit dwelling in us, some like it, and they want to be our friends. Others don't want nothing to do with us, and they will forsake us. So again, even though you have the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that everyone that you work with or you deal with, you're going to get along with. Individuals sometimes separate themselves. But that doesn't mean you don't continue praying for these individuals that you deal with. I know Linda and I, like I say, we deal with people that are living horrible lives, and we pray for these individuals. We ask that if they can change, God would work with them. And sometimes they change, sometimes they don't. But that's part of the Holy Spirit dwelling in all of us. We need to reach out to others and pray for individuals. And as Paul used Timothy as an example here, to stir up the spirit, and that we can have a sound mind. Philippians, I'm going to just refer to this. Philippians 2, verse 5, you can refer to. You can also refer to 1 Corinthians 2:16. Because of time, I'm just going to refer to some of these scriptures. We must have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in us in order to receive the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God and eternal life. So it's very, very important. So definitely the Holy Spirit is the most important part of our lives, and it is the most important gift that God has given us. Now we talked briefly about the Spirit and how it comes into our lives. If we're baptized, we have to first seek repentance, and we've done that. Those of us who are baptized, we seeked repentance. We got baptized. Those of us who are baptized, we did follow through with baptism. We got the laying on of the hands from the minister that baptized us, and we received the Holy Spirit. So these are all the process of how we receive the Holy Spirit. Now I want to talk a little bit about what the Spirit does for us, and I appreciated the handout because as Mr. Kubik mentioned, I'm just going to refer some of the ones that he referred to. God is spirit, and that spirit dwells within us as well. As he says, the first appearance of the spirit is in the second verse of the Bible as the force of creation, Genesis. So God used the spirit to create. We receive the Holy Spirit of God at baptism, and that's very true. That's part of the process of receiving the Holy Spirit. The benefits, a Christian is defined as one who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. I referred to that over in Romans 8. That's how you know if you're one of God's children, if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Now notice what the Holy Spirit does for us. Over in John chapter 14, let's refer to that, John chapter 14. We'll look at verse 26. I was going to refer to that later, but I'll do it now. John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So we will have the opportunity of understanding the plan of God and what he's doing with mankind. As the world gets worse and worse, as perilous times come, and they will come, brethren, whether it's in our time or whether it's in the next generation or the next generation after them, somewhere perilous times are going to come. But we will understand what it's all about, the prophecies of what God has for mankind and the kingdom of God. It says he'll teach us all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So we will remember the things of God, and we will hold them dearly in our heart, as we're told, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. It will be very, very committing to us, to make us stronger, to make us remember the things of God, as he said. It'll show the fruits we read in Galatians 5:22. Of course, again, he refers to that here in his letter. The gifts of the Spirit are knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, and we will understand prophecy through the Holy Spirit, faith, and it will take faith, brethren, to endure to the end. Perilous times are going to be very, very difficult, but we have the opportunity with the Holy Spirit of having the faith to endure to the end. Not halfway, not three-quarters of the way, not even seven-eighths of the way. If we don't finish the race, we won't be in the kingdom of God. We have to endure to the end. We have to finish the race. And it's going to take faith to do that. God says also healing. The Holy Spirit does healing for us, working miracles. And I think, how many people have had a miracle in their life? Yeah, I'm going to say, I think the majority of us can experience miracles. We've all realized that comes from the Holy Spirit, from the blessing of God, performing miracles for us. And then it says here about discerning the truth. We will come to know righteousness and unrighteousness, truth and falsehood. We will understand because of the Holy Spirit, not because we're any better than anyone else or God has made us special because we're so great. It's because God looks at the heart and he looks at mankind and he gives individuals a calling. It's whether we follow the calling or not. We have a choice. We can choose to obey or disobey. If we choose to obey and we follow the calling and we receive God's Holy Spirit, we will have discernment of truth. We will have understanding. We will have the verse of tongues, and it talks about the verse of tongues and their interpretation. Now, people still argue about tongues. You know, there are some individuals say they can interpret tongues. Others says they can't. That's something I think in the future, individuals are going to prophesy in the future. People are going to speak in tongues again, I think, in the future. And some of these diverse situations will be because of the Holy Spirit. And so when they are fulfilled in the future and the prophecies are fulfilled and individuals will prophesy in the future and they will come true, it's all because God's guiding and directing and leading with the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned about the Holy Spirit gives us a sound mind in 2 Timothy. That's just a few examples of what the Holy Spirit does for us. And I'm happy to say that we are tremendously blessed. Don't ever take it for granted, the Holy Spirit. Always give God thanks for the Holy Spirit. And if you ever feel that you're lacking of the Holy Spirit and you don't have the fruits that God expects us to have, as we heard in the sermonette, ask for more of God's Holy Spirit, and He will give it to you. If you ask in a humble attitude, He will give it to you. We serve a tremendously loving God, a God who gave us a wonderful gift, the best gift we possibly could ever have, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that gives us all these wonderful opportunities to grow and develop fruits of the Spirit, the fruits that are found in Galatians 5:22, and many other fruits found throughout the Bible, to give us understanding of the plan of God and what He plans for each and every one of us in the kingdom of God, and how we can serve and have the opportunity. He'll give us eternal life, the blessing of eternal life. Again, all these are based because we will have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that God has given mankind. Don't ever take it for granted. Always be thankful. As we told in Philippians, always be thankful. In our prayers, always seek God and give Him thanks. There are many things we can read about in the Bible in reference to the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow is Pentecost, and we'll be hearing many messages tomorrow in reference to the day of Pentecost, what the Holy Spirit does for us, how it intervenes on our behalf, and how it does allow us the opportunity of being in the kingdom of God and having eternal life. How great is our loving Father to be able to know and understand us, know our strengths, knows our weaknesses, knows what we need, not only daily, but through our entire life. He gives us His Holy Spirit so we have that strength, that power, that capability to develop the fruits that He wants us to have. And we will all be in the kingdom of God if we use God's Spirit as He intends it for. His work within us is accomplished through the greatest gift that He could ever possibly give mankind, and that's the Holy Spirit, a spirit of power, of love, of a sound mind, because God loves us.